kick off hour number two of the program. Talking college basketball. Big weekend in the SEC. All games tomorrow, of course. Full slate. And some pretty big ones. The conference keeps kind of destroying its own bubble teams.
Yes.
Like anybody that rises up then gets kind of beat back down into the pack. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens tomorrow. Tennessee-Auburn starts things off. CBS at noon. Then you've got a 1 o'clock Missouri at Arkansas. I mean, like, if Arkansas is behind Missouri in the SEC standings.
But on the bubble.
I don't think they are anymore. I think these bracketology people hang on to teams they've had in early way too long. I mean, I understand they're missing a player, but if one player means that much to you,
and especially since he's not coming back, right?
No, he could, but it's going to be March. Like, it's going to be like...
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I'm like, saying for the regular season, he's not going to be back.
He's done. So, my thing, too, like, let's say you're 50% worse because you lost one player. Like, what if that player gets in foul trouble in the first round of the NCAA tournament? You know, like...
Foul trouble's not out.
Right, but that has to hurt your... Like, let's say you're a top...
But isn't that the case with most really good teams? Like, if last year, if Grant was out, like, Tennessee's not going to be very good. If Zion had been out for a significant... Well, he was out for a little bit, and they lost... trying to think, didn't they lose the very next game to Virginia Tech? Was that when Zion was out?
I know they lost North Carolina. That was a pretty bad one. I'm trying to think back.
0 points. I think they lost that game,
honestly didn't play that bad with him out.
They didn't.
Virginia Tech, too, I believe.
That's what
I know you said.
That's
that,
what I thought. Yeah, I thought they lost back-to-back games.
They didn't
and
lose
then,
to Virginia.
It wasn't back-to-back, but it was. They lost 2 out of 3.
Okay.
I mean, like every team's going to get worse, but you have to win some games without.
No, not. I completely agree.
Because it just, I mean, Arkansas, they're 16-10, 4-9 in conference play. Like, you can't be going 4-9 and be in.
That's amazing to me.
Missouri's 5-8, so they're going to get together, and I don't know. We'll see if Arkansas can try and make a late season push. The real team that's elevated to the top of the last ditch bubble in the conference is Mississippi State. They're 8-5 in the league play, so they're only one game out behind Florida. They're 17-9 overall. They've been in the last four in, last four out. With all these bracketologists, they travel to Texas A&M, which is one of those games where, I mean, A&M won their last one. They're now 7-6 in league play. They could actually win this game and even their conference record with Mississippi State. I mean, I feel like this is a pretty much a must-win for the Bulldogs if they want to continue the momentum. And they already won one of these type of games during the week against South Carolina. Florida goes to Kentucky. So, obviously, for the bracketology stuff, Florida could lose this game, and it's not really going to hurt them. But if they win it,
yeah,
if Florida beats Kentucky at Rupp Arena, which is a big ask, they then, you know, would have a home date with Kentucky coming up where they could sweep the season series. And if Florida wins out, which is a really tall task, because they still have LSU, I believe, as well, they would be the SEC regular season champions. Because they're 2 games back at Kentucky, but obviously they have 2 games against them, and they'd have the head-to-head if they could beat them. So, a lot to play for Florida, not a lot to lose. And then Kentucky, I mean, obviously they're playing for seeding at home. They're trying to hold home court. 6 o'clock is Georgia at Vanderbilt. Nothing to see there. You also have LSU at South Carolina. LSU could probably end South Carolina's chances of making the tournament. This is a game the Gamecocks probably have to have at home, as they're 8-5. They could beat LSU, that'd put them back at 9-5. LSU would then be 9-5, and South Carolina, with a pretty soft schedule to finish out, could kind of remake their case and try and kind of pass Mississippi State. I don't see any way. It's got to be Kentucky, Auburn,
LSU
in. Florida, unless they fall apart, is in, and then. I only see one more SEC.
Yeah, it feels like there's room there for one, but I also don't think that five is a
layup.
It's not a layup.
Yeah, Mississippi State would be that team for me. Joe Lunardi has those four teams in, Mississippi State and Alabama in the first four out, and those are the only SEC teams getting a look on the bubble. So Arkansas not in anymore.
Not even in the
bubble hunt. Nope.
So he's finally admitted himself that
Jerry Palm hasn't updated since the 17th, which still has Arkansas in.
Palm's usually like once, I think every 5 days is usually like,
does
where
he
he's
do
at.
Other stuff? I just don't get it.
Maybe he's busy watching the XFL.
I think next year we turn the bill loose and we promote Billy Williford as an everyday updater bracketologist.
I could do that. I already have a formula. It's just a simple update.
Are you willing to take on the responsibility of daily updates?
I am.
And learning the bracketing balance sheet.
That's
and all
the thing,
stuff.
Though. I wouldn't want to project what the committee is going to do. I would just want to give my projections and say,
like, if I was the entire committee, this is the way it'd be.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. You just put that at the top. This is not. I'm not trying to project the committee. I'm saying this is the way it should be. I actually think that's more valuable.
Yeah, I like that too, because you're just focused on the teams and not trying to, you know,
right?
Be accurate.
Yeah.
As far as matching what the committee ultimately does, which I feel
are
like.
Are you going to use their criteria though? You are. Right.
Yeah. I mean, like I put the net in mind, the RPI, and then the quad system. Like I give more points for quad one and quad two wins, and also take points away if you lose those games as well. I don't know if the committee does that, but that's why I wasn't as high on Michigan State as the committee is, because they have so many chances to win those big games and they don't get it done. So to me, I mean, you have more chances than a team like Northern Iowa. You have basically the same amount of wins.
What was the stat the other day? The team was 1-1 against.
It was Stephen F. Austin.
So Stephen F. Austin was 1-1 against top.
I think it was top 100 in KenPom's rankings.
That sounds right.
It was top 100. I thought maybe top 50. Anyway,
okay.
It was top something. Bubble teams, all teams considered on the bubble, had played how many games?
38.
Guess what their record was in those 38 games?
I saw the stat. Over.
4-34.
Oh, it was 4? I thought it was 0. My mistake.
4-34.
I saw a different stat.
For all those teams.
Yeah.
Stephen F. Austin, 1-1. And if they don't win their conference tournament, they won't get in.
People always hate on the mid-majors.
I'm starting to love them.
I'm a big mid-major guy. I mean, we've seen the big teams have plenty of chances to get in. Like, why not reward the little guys?
Doesn't it feel like this might be the year where that happens, though?
Maybe.
I think, like, we say that every year.
You never know. The committee.
I don't know, but this, it feels like all the conferences, with the exception of, like, the Big Ten, are
leaving some spots out there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the SEC got what last year? 7? And maybe 4 this year, so there's 3 extra slots. Feels right. Like the ACC is going to give up some typical real estate here in the NCAA tournament. I feel like if you're the committee, why not reward some of these mid-majors this year? Obviously, if Tennessee finds their way onto the bubble, I would like to get the Rick Barnes is a good guy nod and a seed. But if not, yeah, give it to the mid-majors. I mean, I'd rather see Stephen F. Austin get in than a, what did you say, Arkansas wasn't conference, 4-9? Yeah. Like, get out of here. I mean, they're not anymore. But if Mississippi State loses, I don't know, 3 out of their last 5, don't put them in over Stephen F. Austin or an ETSU who might not win their conference tournament. Who is it that ETSU is expected to meet in that championship?
Furman.
Yeah, like what?
Or Wofford.
Yeah, UNC, like, don't let that be a.
You got 4 good teams now.
Yeah, let that one be a win and in, obviously. But I think if they both make it that far and their records are pretty good, yeah, I'd rather see teams like that in. Especially this year. Because there just aren't that many really good teams. I mean, I don't even know. I haven't looked at odds to win a championship. I feel like you could probably name, you know, the 10 teams or so that are up there. But, I mean, Baylor's number one. I don't think they've lost since, Washington beat them in week
first
two or three?
Game of the season.
It was the first game?
I thought. Might have been second.
It was, it wasn't the first, but
it was early.
It was
yeah.
one of those, like, preseason tournaments.
Like, but
it was Baylor's second game.
But do we think Baylor is this unstoppable force when you watch them play? I mean, I think they're obviously very good, but I don't. I wouldn't put my money on them to win a title. You like Gonzaga. Do we think Gonzaga is just going to roll through? This is just one of those years.
Yeah, actually, that Southern Conference standings are ETSU, UNC Greensboro, and Furman are tied for second. Chattanooga and Wofford are in the next group.
So four out of your top 10, according to odds to win it all, this is on my bookie, four out of your top 10 are not from a typical Power 5 conference.
That's crazy.
Who are they? Gonzaga?
Gonzaga, San Diego State, Dayton, and Seton Hall.
Mm-hmm. Seton Hall, really?
Yeah, they're up there.
I knew Dayton was having a really good year. And obviously San Diego State. Have we watched them? Has anyone watched San Diego State?
They're
are they,
not
are they,
one play.
Are they the truth? Or is this a scheduling issue?
Didn't you watch them once in the tournament early? Or am I thinking of Dayton?
Probably thinking of Dayton was in the Maui.
Yeah. That's what
I'm thinking about. San Diego State has a lot of transfers. Their roster is very similar to like how Nevada was last year with just Musselman getting as many transfers as he possibly can and mm-hmm. putting a team together that way. But no, they're pretty good. I'm not saying like, oh yeah, mark them down, they'll win it all. But I mean, they beat, you know, they've had to play Utah State. They beat them twice. They beat Iowa early
yeah,
in
I
the
mean,
season.
They beat Iowa.
They beat Creighton. They beat BYU. Like they've beat
BYU's
a handful
21,
of quality teams.
Creighton's
yeah.
15. Iowa's 22.
What's Dayton ranked right now? Four.
Who'd Iowa beat last night?
Ohio State.
Yeah, Iowa got a big win last night. It's the Buckeyes.
Yeah, they won by 9. How's Penn State doing? My Lions.
They're a top 10 team in the
Good.
Country.
Yeah.
Called that one last year, didn't I? You don't walk into Penn State. They beat Michigan last year.
They were on an eight game winning streak.
The Lions, man. What can you say? When you're hot, you're hot. Who did they just lose to, though?
Illinois.
Ugh. Illinois's not very good this year.
No, they're pretty good.
Are they? Okay. If you say
so. 29. 17-9. They're in.
I'd say they're about as good as Kentucky.
Illinois?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah. They're a pretty good team.
What's Kentucky's odds to win the whole thing? I feel like this would be a good value year to bet Kentucky.
Kentucky's 11th at plus. Well, hold on. Excuse me. They have this all messed up. Kentucky's plus 1,200, so that would have put them higher than Seton Hall. So Seton Hall's actually 11th.
Is Kentucky at plus 1,200 a decent little value bet for you, Hodges? What's Duke?
I don't feel good.
800?
1,000.
Oh.
Probably went down after Wednesday night.
I was with Davey
yeah,
when the odds were, we were really early in the season, we were starting to get on my bookie and look at the basketball championship odds. Louisville was the one that I thought had the best value at the time. And they've since gone up and down and all around, so I don't know.
Louisville's plus 1,200 now.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch Louisville. I don't think they can do it. Okay.
What are they now, 1,200?
Tennessee is plus 40,000.
There's a value bet. I mean, you know, you got to get in first, but I'm feeling pretty good. I'm at 40,000?
That's not even.
4D?
Yeah.
1,000?
Can you imagine putting $100 on that? I mean, you might as well just
light it on fire?
Yeah.
Wow, you're a hater. No faith in Barnes, huh? Sad.
You can put a dollar on it, win 400. It's worth it, right?
No.
A dollar?
400? Like,
it's a dollar.
He's right. It is $1.
You only win 400, though.
Oh.
It's a dollar.
You bet a dollar to win a dollar all the time, and you lose. So what's the difference? Except, you know.
Tennessee. I know I'm losing this one.
Imagine Tennessee winning a national championship, and you get $400.
In the next 400 seasons of college basketball,
don't you dare say
it. A team in Tennessee's position is not winning the national championship ever. They're not ever going to win it.
UConn
did. I'd
be
better off going to buy a Powerball with my dollar.
Yeah, UConn did.
Not in Tennessee's position.
Their odds couldn't have been that bad.
They were pretty bad.
They weren't not even on the bubble with five games to go in the season.
I'm pretty sure they got a 10 seed.
At least a seed.
Okay. That's enough.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
What year was that?
Was it 11?
Was that 11?
I said 11. It's 2011.
No, I heard you. It's an old
2011.
Maybe that was the year Kentucky won it.
2011, that was the year.
That wasn't it.
Was that the year?
No, they did get a 10 seed, but they were 32-9. They finished the regular season.
We really blew that one.
What year was it?
21-9.
It was 2011?
2010-11, yeah.
Guys, making me think I'm an idiot over here.
They lost four of their last five, actually. They were 20-5 at this point in the season. So, see? Get out of here. They only slid because they
I didn't
lost
remember. I was just trying
five.
To find. I didn't think you were going to actually look it up. That's on me.
Gotta love KenPom.
Yeah.
Unless That's you're. On me. Unless you're Bealum. No, Boeheim. Sorry, get my B's mixed up. Did it's you okay. hear him go off on KenPom in a Syracuse press conference?
Jim Boeheim did.
Yeah.
Like he specifically called him out.
Yeah.
Why?
For stats that weren't KenPom stats.
Interesting.
I'll look it up. We'll dive into it.
It's a bold strategy.
Let's hit a quick break.
Regroup.
Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. This segment's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out, the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. They've been serving East Tennessee for 85 years. Sign up, become a member. They'll take great care of you, helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. All right, so we had a completely the wrong year for UConn.
Good job, guys.
Although it really doesn't matter because the year we're thinking about was 2014 when they won the title as a 7 seed. They were still 27th in the KenPom at the end of the regular season. They were 23rd in the KenPom at the end of the AAC conference tournament in which they lost to Louisville, who is number one in the country, according to KenPom. And at this point in the season, with 5 games to play, they were 21-5 that year. Also, the exact same record as the other. Mm.
Yeah, 2011, that was Calhoun's last year. Mm. 2014, that was Kevin Ollie's only national championship with Connecticut. And he was fired not too long after that because, as you could find out, he was not able to recruit.
Yeah, they're in the NIT the year after, right? That's pretty bad. Pretty bad to win the national title and then be in the NIT. I mean, I guess we'll be Sweet 16 to NIT this year.
That happened for Kentucky the next year after. Well, no, actually, that was 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
They lost first round to Robert Morris.
It happens.
But I do view it a little different for the teams that do the one and done type thing because, I mean, UConn wasn't really trying to embrace that.
Well, we did the 3 and done, so.
But we lost our whole team.
I was giving him a pass.
Okay, I'm just saying they didn't fire Cal. It worked out for him, okay?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Just making sure you don't want to fire Barnes because you're bashing him a little
I don't
bit.
Want to fire Barnes.
Just making sure. I don't know if we want to wrap this segment up with basketball. There was actually some interesting football news yesterday. Greg Schiano spoke to someone at The Athletic about Tennessee. Did you see this?
I did.
I don't know if we want to get into that now, but I thought it was kind of fascinating. There's also a Tom Brady update.
Oh.
Which is... hilarious to me because we kind of laughed this off as a joke about a month ago, and now the Titans are allegedly the front runner for Tommy.
Boo.
Boy, that would feel really, really weird.
Mm. You don't want to see that, Davey?
No, give me Tannehill. Tom Brady's going to be 43 by the time the season starts. Mm. People keep saying, but he had over 4,000 yards passing this year. He had 6.6 yards per attempt.
You know, they didn't have anybody, it's though, nothing. In fairness. They
Still,
had no receivers.
Nate said it a while back. You kind of looked like Peyton there on the final stretch. Granted, Peyton was able to get them to win a Super Bowl. I don't think Brock Osweiler could have done that, but it was a great defense for Denver that year. It's what ultimately did it for him. But Tom Brady, like, he's a great quarterback, but he's done.
He's too old. He's just old. Look at him. He's old.
Think of how many more primetime games Titans would play.
I'd rather have wins, Billy.
You can win.
If they expand the playoffs, wins aren't really that important either.
Well, if you mentioned that, and I know we briefly talked about the expansion to 6 to 7 teams for the playoffs, but I've seen several NFL players not like the proposed CBA, so I honestly don't know how close they are to actually getting it done.
What do they have to get to? There's a conference call today, and they have to get like a 2/3 majority to even vote on it, and then if it's a simple majority to pass it.
I'm trying to think. I know the owners are fine with it. The owners like the.
No, the owners proposed it, yeah. Right? They're like, hey, let's go 17 games and expand the playoff and cut one of the preseason games. Interesting. Surprised they're not going for a roster expansion if you're one of the players. But I think the.
They are.
That would include that.
So from what?
It's only like 2 players, though.
Mm-hmm. So 54 to 56?
And one has to be.
An offensive lineman.
An offensive lineman.
Okay. That's kind of weird, but. Okay.
Yeah, even Jeff Schwartz thought that was odd. Like, he's, like, usually dressed 7. Apparently, he has a brother that plays for the Chiefs. They had a game where 2 guys went down, so they were down to their 5, and they were already kind of talking to their, I guess, the backup tight end. Like, hey, if somebody else gets hurt, you know, they got Kelce, and then I guess it's other
Yeah, and
end.
I think, if I read correctly, the profit share is, like, 0.5%.
Oh, really?
But it's, like, $5 billion.
Yeah.
It's something ridiculous. In case you were wondering how much money the NFL makes.
Right. Well, I'm always blown away by the ratings. It'd be some random terrible NFL game. Be like, yeah, it outrated the, you know, best college game, mm-hmm. the ABC 8 o'clock college game from the night before. Yeah, it's kind of messed. I did tease that we would say what Jim Boeheim went off on in his press conference. So let me hit that real quick. So they lost to Louisville, I guess, and he did a press conference.
When was this? This year? This week?
Yeah, it was not last night, but Wednesday night.
Okay.
And I guess he was asking questions about what, like the defense not being as good in the zone. Or, you know, I mean, they always play zone, but like who's at fault for defensive lapses?
Yeah,
in the
Louisville
zone and stuff.
Cooked them.
What was it? You got the score?
No, I was watching the highlights. Okay. They had somebody go off for close
it
to 30.
90-66.
Yeah. They hit, how many threes did they hit? It was ridiculous. Especially considering that's like what Syracuse prides himself in is the extended zone
and
not giving up threes.
Louisville's 10 for 24. 41%. 41.7%.
They only hit 10? Man, the way the highlight was reading, it was like they hit 20.
I mean, that's a pretty good clip.
No, it is. It's still very good.
So Boeheim said, when you start putting in print, they score 25% against the zone against Buddy and 25% against this guy. I'm telling you right now, no one in this room, nobody that's doing KenPom knows who's at fault when somebody scores on us. No one knows. Not one person. Because it's how we're playing the zone at that time. Mm-hmm. We may have the center up, so if it gets down there, it's not the center's fault. If they score inside, it's the forwards. If we have the center back and they score down there, it's the center's fault. If they score in the corner, it could be the forward, it could be the guard, it could be the center. There's no way to pinpoint who's at fault in our defense. Even when I look at it, it's hard sometimes because there's certain movements and certain plays and certain situations that there's really not any fault. Then this article I'm reading says, as Ken Pomeroy noted last night, he has nothing to do with player tracking or assigning defensive blame. Apparently, there's some synergy something that actually does track that, and Boeheim got his analytics all mixed up there.
Blaming KenPom, huh?
KenPom tweeted, entertaining presser, including the complete non sequitur where Boeheim invokes my name about something I have nothing to do with and implies I am dumber than a kindergartner, but mostly he makes good points.
Good job by KenPom.
I feel like Boeheim made himself sound dumb. You don't know who's at fault when someone scores against your own defense?
He says it's hard sometimes to figure it out.
Yeah, it's hard. So hard to see who. Come on.
Who screwed up in the 2-3?
Right. Yeah.
You kind of got zones and you know where you're supposed to be. It's.
But it's the center up, is he not?
I mean, even if you're pinwheel rotating all the way to the other side of the court, like, I can probably identify who had the next pass and then who didn't close out very well. And then.
Yeah, I feel like this is Boeheim trying to.
Yeah.
Overcomplicate what we all see.
I feel like the four of us could watch an entire Syracuse game identify who's at fault, and every time the other team scores, and then compare that with Syracuse's assistant coach doing the same thing.
Yeah, it'd be really close.
Yeah, I bet we'd have a couple off, and you know, probably like 94% the same. Jim Boeheim. There's nothing
worse.
Man,
I can't stand that guy.
He is the worst.
He killed a guy.
He did, and he's just so uppity. That's my problem with him. He's got that terrible voice, and just, oh, God.
He cheats and gets away with it.
Yeah?
Nah, they had to remove several games off of his career wins list.
I think he's my least favorite successful college basketball coach.
You dislike him more than Cal?
100%.
Cal
is what he is.
Cal's Cal, but he is kind of likable.
He doesn't care. Like, he sticks to his message and doesn't really... He's not trying to trick you. And Cal acts like he's better than you, but he doesn't tell you about it all the time. You know?
Mm.
Boeheim, man. Oh, that
yeah,
guy.
Not a fan.
Are there other more hateable coaches? Like, I don't... you know, we make fun of Coach K, but I don't, like, hate his guts. Roy Williams is kind of hard to hate. Bill Self, he's...
Wade.
I guess...
Wade's not successful enough. That's what I mean. Like,
yeah, I can't think of any like blue blood where it's like I just
Patino.
What
do you think
coach.
About Patino?
Like
when he started wearing that white suit, that's when I was just officially out on Patino.
I didn't hate him. Like I know he's a bad person, but it's I don't feel like he was like always trying to rub your nose in it.
I feel like Patino. I feel like I liked Patino, and then he became a different person with success. I feel like early Patino was
money changed
a
him.
Hard right. working dude. Fair. Yeah, I mean that guy hustled.
Yeah, he's kind of lost. He's kind of lost it, especially this year when he saw a Tennessee practice and said, "This team's going to surprise some people."
They surprised, all right.
It was a surprise. Yeah, he saw a different
team.
Didn't
he take a role as like the head coach of the Greek national team,
something like that? I believe I remember a headline.
The Greek national team,
Greece, but wouldn't it still technically be Greek?
No, yeah, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, he wasn't making fun of you or saying you were wrong.
No, I just. I missed that memo.
I'll look it up.
I trust you.
I couldn't remember. I know.
I don't know why, but
he got an offer to coach. Let's see here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The head
Patino's
coach
like a scumbag, but it's something about the way Boeheim acts. Like I just can't stand it.
Uppity.
Yeah, he's the head coach of Greece's senior national team.
Yeah, just so uppity. I mean, he's worse than Kirby Smart.
I thought he was older than 67.
Boeheim?
Patino.
Patino? Yeah, he can make another run at it.
Yeah, maybe he just looks like death.
Yeah, he looks awful. He looks really, really bad.
He needs to take one of these mid-major teams that doesn't care about like UNLV with Tark back in the day. Like just grab one of these places that's near a big city, but not a big school, not a big-time basketball school. And just,
does he have a show cause?
I mean, like, nothing official, but I'm pretty sure he's been blackballed by a couple of the conferences.
Did they hit Kevin Stallings with a show cause yesterday?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Three-year, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to
remember.
Was
anybody
going to
hire him? I mean, just curious.
I mean, I've never seen a team fall off as quickly as Pitt did once he got there.
I mean, but you look at Vanderbilt now, and you're like, yeah, maybe that was his perfect fit.
I think that's more on the hiring than the firing. I think Vanderbilt could be a pretty good basketball program. I think they have been at times in the past. They just can't get out of their own way when it comes to the hiring.
Patino needs to find some city school up in the Northeast.
No, he needs to just disappear. It's done, man. Just give it up. Sorry.
Apparently, the reason he looks so bad probably is because he never sleeps. I read one of his books from a long time ago.
He's always so pale.
That's why he loves New York City, because everything's always open. He's like, I love that the restaurants are just open all night. I can just go eat dinner at 1:30 a.m. Well, yeah, the dude just...
You know how he does that?
Yeah.
Just a hunch.
Probably.
So, Stallings got in trouble for... It says he allowed 3 non-coaching staff members to perform coaching duties, which exceeded the number of permissible coaches on staff.
Yeah, basically he had non-assistant coaches coaching during practice. And then the issue was he tried to cover it up by destroying practice tape and lying.
Oh,
so it's a kind of a Bruce Pearl thing. Like, the act itself, not that bad, but then when you try to cover it up and don't come out with the truth, they're going to hammer you. Because they either caught him or he finally admitted it. I think I read somewhere where it basically was the Pearl situation. Like, nope, didn't do that, didn't do that, they didn't do that. Well, what about this? Oh, yeah, sorry, we did.
They also had their former director of basketball operations. Like, he was producing some personalized recruiting videos for these prospects.
Is that illegal?
Well, I think he then later was involved in the cover-up of, like, just trying to destroy records.
Is Greg Marshall ever going to leave Wichita State?
No, it's a good gig.
He's past his point of where he can go, I think.
Really?
I mean, I think
he's had plenty of opportunities.
I think he's past the point of, like, Kansas and those teams reaching out to him.
Apparently he's got a pretty sweet gig there. No, I don't know. Maybe he just likes Wichita. I don't know how. But he's making like 3+.
I just noticed.
No expectations.
Their KenPom rating is right about as good as Auburn. So if you think Auburn's had a great year, it's like, I mean, he's just quietly just kind of chugging along.
He's from Greenwood, South Carolina. Greg Marshall is.
20-6.
He's from South Carolina?
Yeah. He was at Winthrop before he was at Wichita State.
His name's
World's colliding.
His name's always came up.
Every time South Carolina had an opening before he blew up, the fans would always say, hire Greg Marshall. And whoever the AD was, in different ADs, different points, it was always like, can't get along with him. Like, this guy won't be able to get along with him. He's too...
Too uppity?
Yeah, I guess. Hmm? I don't know. Greenwood, South Carolina. Huh? That's funny. That's where I was born.
Oh. Good for you. Yeah. Being born and all.
Thanks.
I did want to say, too, this isn't on basketball, but Houston mentioned it, and I just actually have the exact situation. But Tom Pelissero, who covers the NFL, works for NFL Network, he reported the players and their representatives will consider the owner-approved CBA proposal in a conference call today. The 32 player reps could vote on the proposed CBA on Friday, and if it passes by a 2/3 majority, the proposal would go to the players for a final vote.
Simple majority, right?
Yes, yeah. Simple majority. And then he says, this is a huge 24 hours to potentially lead to 10 years of labor peace. They're at the end of the 2011 approved CBA, and ownership convened on Thursday to consider the proposal that would provide the league the option to expand to a 17-game schedule, increase the player's share of total revenue to at least 48%, and expand the playoff field to 14 teams starting this coming season. And then Mike Garofalo reported that the owner's final vote on the proposal was not unanimous, but good enough to approve the new CBA terms. And he reported that adding that the owner's approval was the expected outcome. And then finally, the CBA, if agreed to by the players, could go into effect in time for the new league year on March 18th, which is very big because if you remember us talking about the transition tag and the franchise tag, the new CBA would affect, one, the salary cap and how free agency is handled amongst the teams.
Man, it's a big deal.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Changing league.
And I didn't see what it was, but apparently J.J. Watt tweeted something.
Hard no. That's why he tweeted.
And his rep had to be, Richard Sherman was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, talk to your rep. Like, don't just tweet stuff.
He's got a lot of followers.
Yeah, but it's...
No, I know.
It's like, it's not the presidential election. Like, the population doesn't really matter. Yeah. Like, if the reps vote one way, like, that's it.
Well, Richard Sherman went to Stanford. He's a pretty smart guy. J.J. Watt.
He went to play for Butch Jones.
Exactly. And then transferred to Wisconsin, in fairness. But, yeah,
don't
decided.
J.J. Watt's very smart.
No, I don't.
We should have an Idiot of the Week segment.
Well, it'd just be Butch every week.
Hey, he's got a new role, guys.
Butch Jones, new role. We'll tell you about it next. Coming back, final segment, hour number two. Stick with us, Friday edition of Three and Out. Final segment, hour number two, Friday edition, as we get you set for the weekend here on Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, and Billy Williford with you. I mean, it just wouldn't be a show without Butch Jones mentioned. So, yesterday at 4:57 p.m., Matt Zenitz tweets, have heard Butch Jones will be moving into a different role for Alabama. I'm like, oh, finally getting the job. Finally earned the second paragraph. Sounds like he'll now have the title of special assistant to the head coach.
Did that come with a pay raise?
It's a great question.
Probably not. That's probably why he got it. You know how to pay me for it. It's all about titles. Assistant regional manager. Jeez Louise.
They probably just couldn't allow him to continue to be an intern. They had to.
There's probably some limitation on how long you can be a quote unquote analyst or intern.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
He was probably like, hey, Saban probably called him in and he's like, you know, we're going to have to change your job title. And Butch was like, well, don't pay me any more money because I would rather get that money from Tennessee and continue to stick it to him than from Alabama.
Assistant to the head coach?
Special.
Techniques assistant. Over tactics?
This
special assistant.
I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. Like he is... This is like the best joke ever. He's worthless. He's worthless. He can't even coach tight ends at Alabama. Yep. If Sark leaves for Colorado, is there any chance he could move into an on-field role?
Haven't they had openings every year he's been there?
Yes.
Several. Several openings every year.
Well, it was that one time they had no one left.
Yeah, like surely he'll be able to get something. Yeah. It's just like, just wait everybody out.
The staffer left the meeting on purpose, going to look for Dan Enos. They didn't have to deal with the wrath of Nick Saban.
Where the bleep is Dan?
So he's going from getting coffee for everybody else to just Saban and his little Debbies?
When can I start?
Oh, God.
I mean, they've listed this in the online Alabama directory. This wasn't like some deep dive that, I mean, this guy of AL.com
just searching the directory
just happened to see it on the new website, I guess. It's a screenshot, just Butch Jones.
How worthless is this guy?
Have they confirmed that, or do the people at Alabama just hate him and they're like, hey, I got a good way to get it back at him. We're just going to change his title on here to make people think he's now like assistant to the regional manager.
Saturday down.
Special assistant. What is that? Is that even a thing? Do we have that?
Iowa State basketball program has a special assistant to the head coach, and so does Georgetown.
We have it, but I don't think it's ever been a position where people know who the special assistant is.
Is this like a manservant from back in like colonial times? Like it was always a person of similar age and.
Yeah, like is he gonna? The headsets are wireless, so he's not the cord guy. Is he gonna be like the get back guy for Saban? Is that what Butch Jones is gonna be like, grabbing Saban by the belt and pulling him back like Kirby has?
I mean, in the South, we were in Colonial Williamsburg. There's this famous play, and you know they had this like in the South, there'd be a slave. Like you had a slave that was your same age and build, and they would just like help you do everything. And if you ever watch any of the British stuff, it's the same type of thing. You have a valet, right? The valet like actually puts on your cufflinks, hands you your jacket, like puts your
like
jacket
Alfred.
On for you, like does every single thing for you. Is that what Butch Jones does? Is he just follows Saban around?
I don't know. I don't know what is it that
on.
You do here, Butch?
According to the job description for Georgetown's opening, you have to have a bachelor's degree, strong organizational skills. Strong interpersonal skills.
Nope.
Ability to communicate effectively.
Nope.
Ability to foster.
This might be great. The closer Butch Jones is to Nick Saban, the better I feel about Alabama's demise.
Dynasty done.
I mean, since he's got there, they haven't really won anything.
Oh, that's a great point.
Now he's even closer to Saban. I mean, we know how Butch Jones does things. Like, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best. But then he's kind of being divisive everywhere else. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't think Saban's losing it. This is actually kind of perfect.
Maybe,
he's rotting them from the inside.
Yeah, maybe Butch is a Tennessee plant. And we're just paying him to take down Alabama.
No, I just think Alabama's stupid. They're doing a favor for Jimmy Sexton, and they have no idea what kind of catastrophic impact Butch Jones has on a program. They think he got a raw deal because he's probably convinced them of that.
Michael Bratton on Saturday Down South says, it's very unusual for an assistant to stay on staff in an off-the-field role for 3 years in a row. But Jones is that integral to the operation down in Tuscaloosa. Surely this has nothing to do with the fact Jones continues to receive buyout checks from Tennessee and is scheduled to continue to earn those checks
for
until
another year,
2021.
Right? He went from head coach at Tennessee to secretary at Alabama.
I prefer manservant. I think
but, man, he's
better.
Doing it. He's a great secretary. The way he answers those phones. The little Debbie, he unwraps them for Saban before he delivers.
So Pruitt doesn't have a special assistant to the head coach, but Myra Miles is the executive assistant to the head coach.
Yeah, he brought her from Hoover, I think. Isn't that the lady he went and hired from Hoover?
I think so.
And for basketball, so we have assistant to the head coach, I.J. Poole, who he's been with Barnes for about 5 years. And then Ken McDonald, former, where was he the head coach at? Was it Western Kentucky?
Yeah.
He's the volunteer special assistant.
Butch Jones.
Our own Lucas Panzica from back of the day up in this article. You could tell me this is real or a complete joke, and I would believe you either way.
Yep. Speaking of other former Tennessee coaches, did you read the article on The Athletic about Greg Schiano?
I did.
It was a pretty heavy tease and not a lot of delivery.
I was angry.
It was just get volunteer fans' eyes.
Yeah,
on
it was clickbait. He didn't really say that much. Just what did he say? Oh, yeah, the stuff that they wrote on The Rock was false and disappointing, and I don't even really remember how I found out the deal fell through.
He's an idiot. He's like a
I would say
you say Butch Jones with a...
Yeah, I said he's like in-shape Butch Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He's... First of all, his answer on the McQuarrie thing continues to be less than satisfactory.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, maybe he can't talk about that for whatever reason. But I don't know. I was kind of excited. Like, thought maybe he'd, like, take a couple shots, and he really didn't. It seemed like it was more about how focused he is on Rutgers. We talked about this yesterday. He really is Butch Jones in shape. Wants to get sleep pods. For Rutgers, wants to invest in like all the other stupid stuff that really doesn't matter.
I was the one media member that laughed out loud audibly when Butch Jones said that.
Because you thought it was a joke, and you
coaches.
Later realized he has no sense of humor.
I was in the Lucy Hand Digital Studio, and he said, yeah, we're going to have these sleep coaches, and I just started laughing. And then I looked around, and all the like regular beat guys are still holding their cameras up or taking their notes or pounding away on the keyboard, and I'm like, oh my gosh. We are serious. It was when he said individual sleep coach. I mean, like having one person on staff that kind of makes sure your guys are getting some rest makes sense. Individual sleep, like, yeah, we got a guy that charts when Josh Dobbs is in bed or not. Like, are you kidding me? We don't have a guy to coach him to play quarterback, but we got a guy that charts his sleep. I'm getting angry.
But now I'm washing the Mercedes. Soon, I'll be on Little Debbie's. Then the sleep coaching.
It's still
in a year or two, I'll make assistant manager. And that's when the big bucks start rolling in.
It's pretty good.
That's from Coming to America.
Yeah.
DC Coltrane sent in the Louis Anderson GIF. Butch Jones did it. In a year or two, I'll make assistant manager. And that's when the big bucks start rolling in. He's assistant to the...
Special assistant.
Special, yeah.
To the head coach.
Fake title, man. It's not even real.
The paragraph of his contract that's been tweeted out. Please note your obligations under Section 3.1.4 of the agreement, including without limitation.
We've been over this, guys.
Your obligation to use your reasonable best efforts.
Buddy, I'm to the point now I think he is, and he's unhirable.
To mitigate the university's obligation to pay liquidated damages by making reasonable and diligent efforts.
We know how dumb he is.
As soon as practicable, following termination, to obtain another comparable employment or paid services position.
At this point, we're so dumb for hiring him in the first place, we deserve to pay him every cent of that money. Like, he fleeced us.
Yeah.
We fell for it. He's too dumb to get another job. The fact that he's making $35,000 is actually kind of impressive.
He has head coach in his title now.
It's comparable.
It is in there.
You can compare.
Look, head coach. He's special assistant to the
head coach.
Well, I mean, hey, at least we're saving $35,000. Maybe he gets a 2% raise off this.
You joke about the semantics of the title, but him switching roles.
It's a promotion.
I bet Sexton told Saban, hey, you can't just leave Butch Jones an intern. Saban's like,
Tennessee's getting mad.
He's an idiot. Like, yeah, but Tennessee's going to quit paying him. You got to think of something. Okay, well, I never use my special assistant to the head coach person. You know, I just tell him to get lost. I can do it myself. So let's just make him that. Okay, that should do it. Pay him $10,000 more. Okay, we'll do. Thanks. Bye. I mean, are you kidding? Anytime I think of Butch Jones stuff, I go back to this, like, that actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually
that was real.
Reality.
Yeah.
You could make, like, a Blue Chips football version, put the Butch Jones stories in it, and people would go, come on, it's way too unrealistic.
That's what they said about Blue Chips.
And it's true. All
of all
it.
Of it.
Yeah.
He's Coach Vice.
Punched a player. Hey, just tell me he fell on a helmet.
That's who he is. He's Rick Vice from Division III football's finest.
He punched a player, and then that was a different – he punched Matt Crowder in the back of the head.
Punched a player, and he said, fell on a helmet.
But he punched a player.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then told the fans, F all of them.
And he allegedly dressed up a player, not as Dre Bowles, and then said he was Dre Bowles. Think about that. Here he is, Sloven. Do your research.
From 100 yards away, yeah. So you have to
like
squint.
The wrong
tattoos. We do our research. Have you done your research?
Like, no, the wrong tattoos and not the right size.
Well, congrats to him for the promotion.
Called him a traitor.
What do we think he gets? Like $10,000 extra? So he's at the 45
not
now?
Not even that.
Like, surely he has to get something.
I mean, maybe like $1,000 or two, but it's not. I don't see
it.
It's going
to
be 10,000.
I mean, from analyst to special assistant to the head, I feel like that's, you know. Got to be worth something. I'm with Nate. He probably turned it down.
Disgruntled Vol.
He probably has to grocery shop for Miss Terry.
He's Mr.
Sean tweets that in.
He's Mr. Bates from Downton Abbey.
I haven't seen it.
He's the valet.
That's called valet. Is it not?
No.
It's valet?
No, it's valet.
Oh, I thought it was valet.
It's a valet if they're parking your car.
I know, but it's the same thing. Like, the guy does the thing for you, so you don't have to. So I thought it was valet. Mm.
They called him a valet back then anyway, on the show and everything. You need to get more into this since you're so British.
I'm good.
We'll come back.
If he's not bacon, I really don't care.
We'll kick off hour 3 next.